Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Conversation around Canada's economy and some of the underlying weakness in the Canadian economy. It was interesting to see yesterday, and I think we mentioned it, the GDP numbers in the U.S. 2023 was a pretty remarkable year for the U.S. economy. In fact, growth in the U.S. economy in 2023 outpaced growth in the 5 years preceding the pandemic. Now, look, I mean, the U.S. is dealing with a lot of the same inflation issues, interest rate issues, all of that we are. Canada's economy seems pretty stagnant. I know there's some hope. Maybe we'll get into some interest rate cuts later this year, maybe a little bit of a lift for the economy. But that doesn't address some of the underlying weakness, especially when you look at our per capita GDP. Like, that's been shrinking for a while, unfortunately, and that's pretty worrying. Our productivity is nowhere it needs to be. So how do we improve all of this? How do we improve Canada's competitiveness? Because I think to address a lot of these issues, we need to be attracting investment to Canada. And that's how we're going to build and grow our economy. But why isn't that happening? So it's an interesting new piece on this with the CDO Institute and the Business Council of Canada on how we could address all of these matters. Joining us for more, very pleased to welcome the program here this morning, Michael Gullo, co-author of this piece, Vice President of Policy with the Business Council of Canada. Michael, good to have you with us here. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Rob. Thanks a lot for having me.
We talk about competitiveness, and I know this piece looks around how we can sort of tie together investment and clean growth, where we can sort of get that win-win economy and the environment. But when it comes to attracting investment, whether it's in clean growth or in other sectors, what's the underlying weakness here as you see it for Canada?
Well, Rob, it's an excellent question, and let me break it down for you. And I think in the simplest terms, you know, the reality is that we do have really ambitious public policy goals, whether they're related to competitiveness or the energy transition. But we don't have a project approval or a regulatory system that's well-placed to match that ambition. And there's a few illustrative examples, I think, that are really helpful to kind of point to, and we reflect on them in the piece that you mentioned. In the lead into this segment. And the first is that Canada, it is signatory to the Paris Agreement. You know, that means we need to cut our emissions by at least 40 to 45% below 2005 levels by 2030. And we're also committed to net zero emissions by 2050. And economically speaking, we're operating in a geopolitical environment where Canada is competing with the rest of the world in this transition towards a low carbon future. And so the baseline stats, they're a bit discouraging. So from an environmental perspective, we've got a lot of work to do. We've only reduced our emissions by less than 10% in accordance with our goals. And then from an investment perspective, the challenge is equally daunting. We need to be advancing projects and investment at an incredible rate. And right now, some of the best estimates out there say that our investment levels need to be about $2 trillion in order to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. But the reality is that we're well off the mark. Annual investment rates right now, they're between 15 and 25 billion, Rob, but we need to be investing more towards 125 and 140 billion. And so our view is that the key to unlocking these higher levels of investments in Canada is a nimble and efficient system for approving and regulating our major projects.
Yeah, I think the problem is, you know, we're in a bit of a morass right now when it comes to all of that, because the Supreme Court found aspects of the Impact Assessment Act to be unconstitutional. So now the government's trying to sort all of that out at a time maybe when we need some clarity. We've got the opposite, it feels like.
I couldn't agree with you more, really. You've already commented on the Supreme Court opinion, and we're still waiting for the government to describe what it's going to do in terms of its next steps. But let me also remind you that prior to receiving the opinion, the government did commit in its last budget to outline a concrete plan to improve the efficiency of its impact assessment and approval processes. And that plan was supposed to be tabled by the end of last year, and we're still waiting for it as well. The Prime Minister, to his credit, did appoint a ministerial-led working group that's supposed to ensure that we do have an efficient regulatory framework in place to support our clean growth projects. But again, This isn't very well understood in the public domain in terms of what areas that they're looking at and what they're proposing to fix. And so, you know, results are still hard to come by. Since 2019, we only have one project that's been approved through the revised federal regime. And we're waiting, and businesses are waiting for the government to come forward on its new commitments, which I've just described to you. And so I think really what the net effect of that is a policy environment that's really unpredictable. And so that creates a deep chill on investment. It delays final investment decisions for projects that we need not only to remain competitive, but to also transition towards this low carbon economy. And so, unfortunately, we've got a very unpredictable regulatory and policy environment that's creating a deep chill on investing in the projects we need to be competitive and to transition towards a low carbon economy.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, you know, as the piece points out, if you've got the possibility that you're going to face a delay, or even worse, at some point down the road, thinking you've got a green light and all of a sudden, you know, the project is vetoed, that's a huge deterrent, isn't it?
Well, sure. That's a big part of the policy uncertainty piece. And, you know, what we've tried to do was it's come forward with some solutions that policymakers can really look at and consider while they're rolling up their sleeves and trying to take on all these various assignments and fulfill these various commitments. And so, you know, from our perspective, we think we need a bit of a new North Star here, in that we need to publicly support rather than discourage investment in major projects in Canada. And we think one of the best ways to do that is to have a very clear policy statement that points all of our regulatory approval and permitting processes and really instills that confidence in the investor and business community that when they enter an environmental assessment process, the job is to get the project over the goal line and get to yes faster so that we can really move forward here. The second part that we're pointing to is the principle of one project and one assessment, which has been talked about a lot over the years, but in practice has been really hard to come by. Across the country, we only have one agreement in place between the federal government and British Columbia where they recognize their respective project approval and permitting processes and use one process to fulfill their various requirements. We saw a great example last year in the Cedar LNG project, where it was stood up and approved in a record amount of time. But the reality is that's the only agreement we have in the country, and we certainly need more of them. But to your point about taking the politics out of the review and approval process, I couldn't agree with you more on this, Rob, because we do have a current process that's bookended by the potential, at least, for political interference, where a project, even if it's not listed in the supporting regulations for our impact assessment regime, it can be designated for a federal review. And then at the back end, you have the potential for a project that meets all the requirements through its environmental assessment process, only to be vetoed through politics. And so that's pretty discouraging. You know, our members are chief executive officers of some of the biggest companies in the country, and that's a really difficult sell for a CEO to make to a board of directors, where you've got a process that is subject to such high levels of political interference over time.
Absolutely. Much more is mentioned, cdhow.org, also thebusinesscouncil.ca. Michael, thanks so much for making some time for us here this morning. Appreciate it.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.